Another big situation that was discussed was the whole Justin Timberlake Super Bowl situation that happened, where he was meant to rip off a piece of her clothing that would just reveal a bra underneath, but he ended up ripping the whole thing, which exposed her breast. Now, I just don't understand why they made it a big deal back in the day. It was not that deep. I'm very sorry. These kids that they were saying that, oh, they should expose themselves in front of the kids. First of all, it was very clear it was an accident. I'm a classic man. You can be me when you look this clean, old-fashioned man. Yeah, baby, I'm a classic man. Hello, you are welcome to episode 54 of the Classic Manny Show. It is your boy, V1, the only. I hope you all are well, blessed, and highly favored. I'm recording on a Sunday evening. Is it evening yet? No, it's still afternoon. Wow, time is going very slow. But yeah, Sunday afternoon. But I hope you're having a very good day, night, whatever time it is that you're listening to this podcast. Before we go any further, make sure to rate the podcast on Spotify Podcast and Apple Podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcast as well. Don't forget to use the hashtag TCM Show to let me know your thoughts. And also follow me on TikTok. I'm making more content on TikTok. I'm making self-care related, style related, music related content. Make sure to follow at the Classic Manny. But yeah, I want to go straight into the classic fave, and I thought it was only right to talk about Janet Jackson. Janet Demeter Jo Jackson. If you don't know who she is, then you're definitely young, because she is the queen of pop. She is the trendsetter, the blueprint, the girl's fave. She is a singer, songwriter, actress, and dancer. She started off by joining her Jackson brothers on stage, and if you've watched her documentary, which is actually why I want to talk about her for the classic fave, you would know that she didn't really want to be in the limelight like that. She wanted to actually go and get education, but her dad was like, listen, you better go into acting, better go into singing, and get that money for the family, child. We will get into the Janet doc in a bit. So the first songs that I personally remember hearing from Janet Jackson was All For You and Doesn't Really Matter. Doesn't Really Matter is me and my older sister Diana's favorite song. Like, anytime I think about a song that made us dance, made us happy, it was this song. What I remember is All For You. I remember the vibrant visuals. I remember her beauty, her beautiful smile, her dance moves, like talent. And that song till this day is such a feel good song. I think that song is now 22 years old. Let me check. It's all for you, and it wasn't all for you. All the girls in the party, shaking the body. Since then, I became more aware of who she was. I think I knew instantly that she was the sister of Michael Jackson, who, again, we'll talk about the relationship as the episode goes on. What do I love about Janet Jackson? What I love about Janet Jackson personally is she is the standard. She is the blueprint. A lot of the girls need to give her credit. What I know for certain is that the people like Britney, Normani, etc., those are her sons. Those are her sons and her daughters, Sha. She had it all. She could sing, she can write, she can dance, she can act. She was beautiful. Like, everything that was needed to make her a star, she already had it. I love how she reinvented herself every era. When it comes to artists that reinvent themselves, I know that she was a blueprint for that. I know people like Rihanna were definitely inspired by Janet in terms of not being boring, not having the same look every era. When you compare the Velvet Robe era to the Loud era, they both had the same red hair, it's a new image, amazing styling, you name it. Like, I just love that. Yeah, so All For You came out in 2001, and I just love that song. I love the feel. I was only 5 when that song came out, but that is a song that I deem a classic. Janet as a whole is the epitome of classic. Like, she is timeless. She is a legend. I don't care what people call her, icon. Icon is even too small. She's a legend. She paved the way for a lot of these girls to make it in this industry. She has been through so much, which we'll get into when I talk about the Janet documentary. When it comes to my favorite Janet songs, there are so many to talk about, from the Control album all the way to Made For Now, which came out a few years ago. But if I go through each album and talk about my favorite songs, The Pleasure Principle, Let's Wait A While, Call On Me featuring Nelly. I will never forget when that video premiered. I love that song. I think it was even on my MySpace page at some point. Bloody love it. I love Nasty. That's The Way Love Goes. Hold on. That's the Way Love Goes. Don't get me started on that song. Oh my goodness. I just love how nostalgic that song feels when you listen to it. It is just top quality. Oh my God, like the instrumental, her vocal delivery, how soft but authoritative her vocals is on that song. It was just made perfectly. Oh my goodness. I love If, Anytime, Any Place, Got Till It's Gone, I Get Lonely, I Get So Lonely, Don't Get Me Started, Anything, Together Again. Oh my God, Damn Baby, that's from one of her more recent albums. What else? There's too many amazing songs to go through. Rhythm Nation, I'm Using All The Sun, I love it. Rhythm Nation, what else? I'm sure there's more songs that I'm even forgetting. Doesn't really matter. Tonight's the Night and Go Deep. I'm sure there's more songs I'm forgetting. If I had to pick my top 10 favorite songs from her, I had to pick through the list that I've given you guys. When it comes to favorite albums, I will start between three. First one is Control. The album was released in 1986. I love this album so much because of what it signified. It signified her experiencing freedom. It signified her taking charge of not only her career, but her actual life, her personal life. Just amazing. The songs there are so timeless. I was born 10 years after this album came out, but as I mentioned, Let's Wait a While, Nasty, Control, The Pleasure Principle, Funny How Time Flies. These are amazing songs on this album, and for me to not even be born at that time and still love that album. The second album that I love is The Velvet Rope. The Velvet Rope came out in 1997 and I was only 1 year old at the time, but I just love the image, I love the sound. That was Janet, so polished, so confident. My favorite songs are Velvet Rope, Got Till It's Gone, Go Deep, Together Again, Tonight's the Night, I Get Lonely, Anything. Those are my favorite songs from the album. Bloody amazing. Like, this woman is a gift. The third album, I was stuck between Janet and All For You, just because All For You was the album that I remember growing up listening to, loving. As I mentioned, I love the songs You Ain't Right, All For You, Would You Mind, Truth. That song doesn't really matter. Perfection. You know what, she's been through so much, but I think this is the perfect time to get into the Janet documentary. I believe the documentary premiered on Lifetime in America, but it's now been shown in the UK on Sky. So the documentary starts from the very beginning. It shows how she and her family came from very humble beginnings. What I loved about the documentary right off the bat was it showing the importance of recording all amazing memories of your family and loved ones, because watching it tells you more than even you reliving it and talking about it again. As you will see in the documentary, her and her siblings all shared a living room and a bedroom. One thing that caught my attention was finding out that the mom was behind a lot of their performance looks, and it reminded me of Beyonce's mom Tina. And I think as the story goes along, I start to see similarities between Beyonce and Janet, which is absolutely crazy. I loved getting to know the family in a deeper level, because we've known them more from the dad being controlling, the mom being submissive, the mom allowing certain things to run according to LaToya back in the day, doing interviews, talking against her family. So it was nice to see the family for what they were, with all the receipts shown. When it came to the parents that noticed the talent, it was actually Catherine, the mom, but it was Joseph who pushed them to actually pursue it so they can get out of poverty, because at that time Black people were suffering, like in terms of making it out of the hood, getting good jobs. It was a challenge for a lot of black people and people of color. Something that was touched on was Joseph's way of parenting, which we've heard over the years. We've heard Michael talk about how he was afraid of his dad. Even after his fame, he was still scared about his dad. You know that saying, spare the rod, spoil the child thing. I think that's how he lived by. And I think one thing that Janet says is that even though she might not agree with the way she was raised by her dad, without it, they would not be who they were. The Jackson 5, Michael going solo, Janet going solo, them becoming superstars, becoming artists that people see as a blueprint. I personally like the way Joseph raised those kids. I don't think it was loving. I don't think it showed love. I don't think it showed compassion. I think it was quite abusive, if we're being honest here. But from their own standpoint, they understand that his way of parenting helped them in the long run, if that makes sense. There was a light at the end of the dark tunnel when it comes to that parenting stuff. As I mentioned before, it was Joe that forced Janet to go into music, And as you could tell, Janet was not really herself in those first two albums. The sound was not her, the image was not her. I don't think she even knew who she was yet to know what kind of sound she wanted, what kind of image she wanted to go for. After those two albums tanked down the charts, she decided to take control of her own career. When it came to the album Control, you can see the difference. You can see she was more happy. She can tell she had control, which obviously inspired the title Control, and even how she starts the album, like she's taking control. I think the first song was about her being 18 and knowing better, all that kind of stuff. I love it. I absolutely love it. Her taking control also meant her firing her dad, which is also similar to what Beyonce ended up doing years later with her dad, Matthew Knowles. And that's when she gave us the album 4, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. She now ends up working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who ends up being her music producers. Paula Abdul, who I absolutely love, ends up being her choreographer, but also a helping hand. She becomes a friend, an advisor that helps her to create her own identity. In this day and age, we'll call that artist development, because they really helped her discover her sound, discover her image, to build her confidence on stage. And I think what I love about this so much is that the reason why I call her a blueprint is because this showed the importance of artist development. It showed the importance of knowing your sound. And I really loved this. I love the documentary showed this. And I recommend this documentary for those that want to get into music, especially women. So whether it's men and women, to be honest, but especially women, because we are now in a time where people do not give their all to what they do. They don't rely on their talent alone anymore. They just rely on auto-tune. They rely on just making two words and calling it a hit. Honey, that is not the way to make classics. The reason why we love all these songs, so the Let's Wait a While, Control, All For You, all these years later, because it's quality. You hear it in the production, you hear it in the vocal delivery. And one thing that I love about Janet and her music is her vocal layering. It's just fantastic. Like, people think singing, hollering, hooting, making all the noise is the only way of singing. I love Janet's style of singing because it's soft but also authoritative. Like, you can't say, oh, she sounds weak. It's very intentional what she's doing. You hear that in I Get Lonely, for example. Like, that woman is singing. She is singing from the diaphragm, honey. An obvious issue that Janet faced was living under Michael's shadow in the beginning. Janet had to work so hard to create her own identity, to not just be known as Michael Jackson's little sister. One thing I would say is this: no matter how hard the relationship was, I do love Michael and Janet's relationship, because despite Michael being the bigger star first, I don't think Janet allowed it to make her jealous to the point that she hated her brother. Because there might be the normal human emotions of envy, jealousy, all that kind of stuff, but I don't think she allowed it to stop her. I think if anything, she always spoke highly of her brother whilst also speaking highly of herself, which was very important. Something that the documentary showed that I love to see was the fact that Janet is very involved in the writing process and also in the creation. I know why she did this, by the way, because people like to discredit these artists, these Mariahs, the Janets. They like to discredit these artists and say they don't write their music. I think we witnessed her write her verse and scream. We witnessed her record in the studio, being involved in the vocal layering. And I think that is why the execution of her music was just perfect, because it was just high quality. I love when artists show that, listen, I'm not just the woman that enters the studio and sings. I'm also involved in the writing. I'm also involved in the creation process. I also share my opinions. I say what I'm happy with and what I'm not happy with. Going back to her relationship with Michael Jackson, I loved how she saw her brother as an inspiration more than a competition. She actually went to his tour that he had started and saw his production, saw how he was received, and saw how well received he was. And she saw that inspiration for her first tour, which I believe was the Rhythm Nation tour. And speaking of that first tour, the night before her first day of the tour, she had a dream that only 3 people came to that tour. It ended up being a sold-out show. People of different colors, ages, races, genders, being there excited to see her perform. And I would say that was her career defining moment, because I didn't even know there was that much pressure on her like that. It ended up being the biggest debut tour in history. And what I love about Rhythm Nation, the song itself and the whole album and the message behind the album, was the fact that it was authentic. You know, these people that like to do all this social justice stuff and it doesn't feel authentic. With her, it felt very authentic. When you know her story, know where she's come from, it makes sense. But a big issue during this time was her relationship with men. She had dated and also married men that end up being drug addicts. I think at times was being a savior, and I think it was even a distraction at times, but despite all that, she was able to persevere. And I think a standout moment was the Rolling Stone cover. It was actually her man at the time that was holding and covering her breast with his hands. Again, I think that Rolling Stone cover was another career defining moment, because that was her really coming into her sexuality, owning it, and just being her own person. We got to see the creation of Scream with her brother Michael Jackson. She calls him Mike. And at that time, of course, there'd been so much controversy and allegations regarding him being a pedophile, which, again, I personally do not believe it, just based on the contradictions as the years went by. I get those that side with him and those that don't side with him, but that's neither here nor there. We also see how the industry almost came between them as siblings, because when they filmed the visual for Scream, there were times where they hid Michael's stage so she couldn't see what he was doing. It's just sad. This industry, they have a weird way of pitting people against each other, especially black people, if it's siblings, if it's just women, if it's men. Going back to Beyonce again, I love how Tina made sure that, I think Solange went to therapy on this, because she understood, listen, Beyonce is the bigger star. I need to help my child in the best way I can. I just love how in Michael and Janet's case, they didn't allow it to affect them long term. Now, another big situation that was discussed was the whole Justin Timberlake Super Bowl situation that happened, where he was meant to rip off a piece of her clothing that would just reveal a bra underneath, but he ended up ripping the whole thing, which exposed her breast. Now, I just don't understand why they made it a big deal back in the day. It was not that deep. I'm very sorry. These kids that they were saying that, oh, they should expose themselves in front of the kids. First of all, it was very clear it was an accident. I never saw the big deal with that situation when I was a kid, and even now. Because have we not all seen breasts before? Did we not all suck our mother's breasts? I get that there was kids there, it was a family show, whatever. But it was so clear it was an accident. I can get the public's reaction, but the industry's reaction, it was as if they were waiting for a moment to tear that woman down. MTV, VH1, the Grammys, they all blackboard Janet. I said, it's not that deep. And then Justin Timberlake too did not say or do much to help during the time, but also made light of it as the years went by. And I'm happy that she's forgiven him. And to be honest, I'm not saying I've cancelled him, but I could never respect him as a man, because what? You were not a kid at that time. You were a grown man, and to make light of it just made it even worse. And these platforms, I really hope she never gets in time with them again, because they almost ruined her career. She almost did not have a career anymore. But that's that on that. She also talks about having a child and how her child changed her life. It's very interesting how she never really spoke about her ex-husband. Is it her current or ex-husband? We don't know much about that because she never discussed it, but she only spoke about the child and how the child changed her life and balancing motherhood with performing again. Like, she was back on stage months after giving birth. So yeah, but I love Jen Jackson so much. She is an inspiration. She is a legend. She's iconic. May God actually bless her. May she live long and may she enjoy life, because she has been through so much, from relationships to career, the ups and downs, the industry turning their backs on her, men. Oh, Lord. She has been through it all, but she has remained so sweet. Her heart just appears to be so pure. Big shout out to her. Let me know your thoughts on the classic fave using the hashtag TCM show. I now want to go into the latest releases, and I want to start off with LMA's DFMU, which stands for Don't Fuck Me Up. I love this song so much. I am so excited for what's to come from LMA in this new era. As I mentioned in previous episodes, her self-titled album was not bad, but it was not an album that I connected with overall. But when it comes to her most recent singles, Not Another Love Song and DFMU, I love it. I love Don't Fuck Me Up so much. Like, that song is such a vibe. It's my kind of vibe. What I love about that song is the fact that it's actually a bridge. And you know, in this day and age, artists are taking away bridges and choruses and just making rubbish. The bridge is probably my favorite part of the song. But shout out to LMA. I'm so excited for this album. I love the image. I love the visual. I love the sound. My sister's giving full package, baby. I'm rooting for her. The next song I want to be talking about is Mads and Shea Universe's new single, Slow Jams and Wine. Guys, there's crack in this song. There is crack in this song. And similar to the LMA DFMU, this is my kind of vibe. Oh my goodness. Mads and Shay are so compatible vocally on this song. I love the vibe. The violence that Mads starts off with. Let me get the lyrics. Hold on. Because my guy said, fuck you and everything that you're standing for. That's how he started the song. I said, this is how you get somebody's attention. You know, songwriting is very important. Because you need to capture the listener with your first verse. There are some songs that I'm hearing nowadays that are so basic. It's basic English. My guy said, fuck you and everything that you're standing for. I said, ooh, ooh. Okay, sir, I hear you. But this song's amazing. The vibe of it reminds me of Don Toliver and Kali Uchis, Drugs and Hella Melodies. That song, again, has got crack in it. So no wonder I love that song so much. But yeah, it's really amazing. I'm a big fan of both. Shout out to them. Please go and stream this song. Out of all the songs, go and stream this song. Go and support it. Next up, we have got Nicki Minaj, honey. Nicki Minaj is back with her new single, Do We Have a Problem, featuring Lil Baby. When it comes to this song, I actually really like it. I like this song. I'm going to use a word. Please know I'm not using it to describe Nicki. I'm using it to describe the song. I love the aggressiveness of the production. It is absolutely amazing, in my opinion. I know there's been mixed reviews. I've even seen some barbs say they don't like the song. But I think it might be a grower. It might be a grower on a lot of people. But for me, I like it. It went straight to my playlist. And I like the chemistry between her and Lil Baby. Because I've spoken about Nicki's collaborations in recent years. And how I don't feel like the people that she does music with match her most times. But in this case, I love the chemistry between her and Lil Baby on this song. I need bussin' though. Bussin' is where I'm ready to check Nyash for Jesus. Because, ooh, that's when she teased at the end of the visual. Wow. Damn. But yeah, I love the song. I would have loved to hear Flo Milli on this song because Nicki's first verse actually reminds me of Flo Milli. Hold up, Shani. Hold up. Bitch. I love that part. I love that whole verse so much. Like, people, please. Like, Nicki's giving us her whilst also fitting in with the new sound. I like it. I personally like it. Next up, I want to talk about Adekunle Gold's fourth studio album, Catch Me If You Can, which I spoke about in the last episode of Afomi. Shout out to Afomi. This album, I was not expecting any less, to be honest. I was not expecting it to be a bad album. But the way that I fuck with this album, yeah. He has evolved so much as an artist. What I love about this album is that it shows Adekunle Gold finding a balance. Finding the balance of what makes his older music special and incorporating it with this modern sound that we have, this Afro pop, Afro swing, Afro beats that we're enjoying right now. An example of that is Mashemi. I hope I'm saying it right. I'm not Nigerian. I'm Nigerian in spirit, but not in truth. But but Mashemi is a banger. I love that song so much. It needs to be a single. That song is my favorite, along with One Woman featuring Ty Dolla Sign. I wish Tekno was on that song as well. But Ty did a very good job of that. Because a lot of these American ex-African collaborations can be hit or miss sometimes. But it was a hit with this one, to be honest. I think they complement each other so well vocally. Every single song slaps, by the way. I want to make it very clear. Every single song slaps. But my favourites are Mashemi, One Woman featuring Ty Dolla Sign, Mercy, which we spoke about in the last episode. More Than Enough. Hello, hello, hello. Adekunle, AJ Baby, hey, okay, that song, More Than Enough, it needs to be a single. It is a, hello, hey, God, it slaps severely. It's really, really good. Sinner with Lucky Day, which I spoke about on a previous episode. So the song of Teflon Don, I believe, is called Fire. My guy said he's on Demon Time. I said, oh. It made him even more finer. You know, that man is gorgeous, so. But I said, woo, he's gorgeous and he's naughty. Wow, Simi is enjoying. Simi is his wife, by the way. She's also a singer. I also love High with Davido. I love It Is What It Is, which was the first single, if I remember correctly, as well as the title track, Catch Me If You Can. It's an amazing album. It's very hard in this day and age to make a body of work that people will love years later, and I think with this album he did that so well. I think people will definitely love this album as the years go on. But that's Adekunle Gold's Catch Me If You Can. Next up, we've got Coffee's new single Pull Up, We've not heard from Coffee in a while. She joined Wizkid for the last day of the Made in Lagos tour, but in terms of new material, I had not heard any music from her as a solo artist in a long while. And I really love this song. This song is produced by J5, who is one of the best producers in the UK. When it comes to his production, I love the fact that he incorporates actual instruments like the saxophone, the piano, you name it. Super talented. And when it comes to Coffee as well, I just love the fact that she can skate on any beat. I don't think she's ever been on a track and done a bad job, if that makes sense. Super talented. A song that I recommend as well. Last but not the least, we've got Mira May featuring Steph London. Steph London is here again, child. And the song is called Big Woman. We spoke about her previous single, Go Girl, featuring Ray, a few episodes ago. Mira May, I don't like to compare too much, but when it comes to her sound and how she explores music, it reminds me a lot of Ariana Grande. I hear similarities in their ad-lib sometimes, but Mira May is a gift. Mira May is a gift. She deserves so much more recognition. I first heard about Mira May on No Signal. Was the song called Mother? The song has something to do with motherhood, I think. I think she was pregnant at the time, I believe. But the music that she's given us is insane. Her song with Hailey, Say Yeah, Go Girl with Ray, now this song with Steph London, it's all so different, but it feels authentic. People experiment, but the execution can be so poor. That is not the case with Mira May. I love this song so much. Again, I don't think I'm even the target market for this song, but the song's like, I'll be streaming it. Hello? Hello? I love Mira May. Super talented. I'm very excited for her next project. I'm very excited to see what's to come. I think the song that I heard... No, the song was called Baby. That's it. The song was called Baby. But she has other songs. I think the song with Jules called Blessed. She has Woman Like Me, Dark, A Care Package, Let Me Talk. So many amazing songs that I would recommend. Do check out Mira May. It's spelled M-I-R-A-A, May, as in the month May. Amazing. But that's all for the latest releases. Let me know your thoughts in the hashtag TCM Show. In terms of songs that I'm loving, I've only got two songs for you guys. The first one is by Benji Flo and Oxlade. I think I've only spoken about Oxlade once on the podcast. He's on the song Interest with Dolapo and Miss Banks. This song's called My Bella, B-E-L-L-A. I had to message Bella, the singer. I was like, is this song about you? And I don't know if she's an inspiration, I don't know if it's about her, but it's not about her directly, like, if that makes sense. But that song is such a vibe. I gave Benji Flo's album a listen. I think I was more a fan of the production, if I'm being honest, than the actual delivery. But this song stood out like a sore thumb. Oh my goodness. The production on... I feel like this sound is more him, because the production overall is giving me proper 80s, 90s inspiration, but that kind of sound, the voice has to kind of match. And with this sound, it complements his vocals very well. Benji Flo and Oxlade sound amazing together on this song. The vocal layering is amazing. I bloody love it. It's been on repeat. The second song is Labyrinth and Zendaya's All For Us from the Euphoria soundtrack. I first heard the song on TikTok, because I've not really watched Euphoria yet. Zendaya's voice has evolved a lot. Compare it to the Shake It Up days, compare it to Replay. Her vocals has matured immensely. Like, her vocal delivery reminds me of Rihanna and Sia. Really amazing. Labyrinth is so gifted, by the way. Big shout out to Labyrinth. People didn't know that Labyrinth's from the UK. I said, hello, are you all right? Yes, he's from the UK. A super talented songwriter, singer, producer. I mentioned her before, how he did Lost in Paradise for Rihanna, just to name a few songs. And he's killing it for the Euphoria soundtrack overall. Just amazing. Super talented. I love his song Jealous, which is about his relationship with his dad, I believe. Or the parents. I think it's a dad. But yeah, amazing song. It's time for the trending topics. And I almost forgot about this first one. Rihanna's pregnant, y'all. Oh my goodness. I was having a rough day trying to sort out my internet issues because I was working. Scroll on Twitter and I see Rihanna with a belly. I was like, are you going to put on weight? I said, hold on, she's pregnant! I screamed, my eyes widened. I said, oh my God. So if you didn't know, Rihanna broke the internet. I don't think she even announced it. I think she stepped out of where she stays with A$AP Rocky and she revealed that she's pregnant. She was wearing a pink jacket with nothing underneath and she had long jewelry on her neck. She wore baggy jeans and was walking down the streets of New York with her bump. And I'm so happy for her. I have been a Rihanna fan slash stan for over 10 years now. And one thing that she's always spoken about is wanting to have kids in the future. And of course, the whole A$AP situation. I've acknowledged it. Am I the biggest fan of him? No. But if she's happy, I'm happy. If he's changed, because I think the main issues that we've had with A$AP was him saying all lives matter, him being a colorist. I don't want to repeat what he said about dark-skinned women. I don't want to trigger the woman that listens to my podcast. But yeah, he said a lot of things that are just disrespectful towards black women. And I could only hope that she has spoken sense into him, that he's just changed in general, because child, you're going to be bringing a black child into this world. All that matters to me is that Rihanna's happy, that is a healthy environment that the child will be coming into, that is actually loving the relationship, and actually they're all good. Like, that's all that matters to me. But congrats to Rihanna. I love her. I love her a lot, child. I will always love me some Riri. Next up, I want to talk about Doja Cat, because she blessed us with a visual for Get Into It, Yeah. Get Into It, Yeah. The reason why I want to talk about it as a trending topic is because she is one of the few people that are giving us eras like we had back in the day. When I talk about classic faves, one thing that you always hear me talk about is how the artists, the groups, and their teams just went in, like the Pussycat Dolls, Rihanna with the Loud era, Beyonce with the B-Day era, just to name a few. I love that Doja is doing the same. This is her fifth visual. So far we've had, for Kiss Me More, Need to Know, You Right, Woman, and Get Into It, Yeah. The single selection has been perfect, first of all, but the visuals have been amazing. The visual sticks with the theme of Planet Her, which is the title of the album. I'm a huge fan of her, and I can't believe I almost allowed fake rumors to make me not stand this woman. That episode I never deleted because that was a real reaction to what I thought was real. What came out was against my politics. What I now know was not true has allowed me to like her, to love her even, and to support her music. So shout out to Amala, that's her real name. The last trending topic I want to talk about is Tinder Swindler, which is a documentary on Netflix. This documentary is about how a man, I don't even know if it's referred to as Simon, or I don't know if that's even his real name. So this documentary explores how this man, who goes by the name Simon, uses Tinder to defraud multiple women. He makes them believe that he wants to get to know them, is in love with them. He says his bodyguard has been attacked because him and his quote-unquote family work with diamonds. There's so many eyes on them. They've got enemies chasing after them. And then these women actually take out money to assist him with this. Now, my issue was the first babe, if I'm being quite honest with you. I can empathize with her in terms of him lying to her that he loved her whilst he didn't love her. He just wanted to use her for what he can gain from her, which was her being naive enough to actually take out multiple. The first babe took out, I believe, 7 to 9 loans, which amounted to $250,000. I said, sorry, how did we get here? Because I can understand the first loan. Maybe, No. This man is telling you he's a millionaire. This man is telling you he's a billionaire. Why is a billionaire asking you for money, first of all? The money you don't even have. Why are you taking out loans? If I'm being honest, call me insensitive. It's given desperado because what? If there was no desperation in the mix, I think she should have had a clearer vision. Let's be honest here. Of course, I know this might sound like victim blaming. I'm so sorry if it does. However, accountability has to be taken, because taking out 1, 2, 3, 4, I can understand. But past 5, my dear, is everything okay? The second babe confused me even more, because from what I saw, she was interested in him, and he randomly brings a new girl shamelessly to her and she's okay with it. And then he does the same trick that he does to the first babe and to many people actually, because he's defrauded so many people that has gone into the millions at this point. He's defrauded men, women, families, crazy. But I think these women, it was Tinder that he used as a way to defraud them. I said, my God, the second babe confused because you liked him, but he brought a new babe and you were okay. I think she just wanted the lifestyle and didn't give a heck if he liked her back or not. And I think that is the issue. Oh my God, I was so confused. I can't lie, hearing his voice in the voice notes, he even scared me, if I'm being quite honest with you. I was like, how? To the point that thousands that you can use to start business, you're now giving to a random man. The first babe was after a month of knowing him. I said, is everything okay at home? And what for me, I have been a fool in love, but not to this degree, child. However, something that has mattered to me, even in my foolish times, was my family safety. I don't think any of my past guys know where I live. I don't think they do. And I don't think they'll be stupid enough to come to my house. I don't care when it comes to family. I feel like she didn't think beyond wanting a man, if I'm being honest with you. And I think, I don't know how Tinder works, but if I'm struggling on Tinder for more than a year, I think that's even too long. If I'm struggling on Tinder for months, I don't think I'll be on that app more than a year. But that woman has been on that app for years. I said, wow, you are a strong soldier. Me, I don't have the energy, my dear. I don't have the energy, but the third babe in this documentary now finds out about her boyfriend, which is Simon, being a fraudster online, when the first ladies come and bring this situation to light. And I love how the third babe handled it, because I get it, that she also believed that was love of her life. She also gave him money, but you know what she did now? She said, oh my God, let me help you with your issues by getting your clothes and selling it on eBay. As of when the documentary was being filmed, she was still selling his designer wear. I said, that's how you deal with a trifling ass, because what? It's insane. And what angered me the more was that the man is free. The man is out. I think he got arrested in Greece, if I remember correctly. I can't remember where he got arrested in. But he got arrested when the third babe actually called the police and said, listen, he's on a plane, he's on the way to your country right now. Get him at the borders. He was arrested for just 18 months. I said, huh? He was only arrested for 18 months because of using a fake identity to enter the country, but he was not arrested for any of the fraud that he had done with not just a free one, but with countless people. I said, the law is just interesting. The law does protect the non-blacks, because if it was a black person now, it would be a whole different story. I would definitely recommend this documentary, but what I will say is I would not recommend watching it at certain times. I started watching this documentary in the evening. I was so pissed off that I had to pause so I don't go to bed angry, because like, what is this? So I continued it the next day. I said, wow, this is pure madness. This is insanity, but it could be anybody, but I rebuke it for all of us in Jesus' name, child. But that is all for today's episode. This might be a short episode, but I shall be back soon. I want to introduce a new part to this podcast. I will share it when I execute it. But just know that I want to make this podcast even more fun for you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. Use the hashtag TCMShow to let me know your thoughts on what I've spoken about today. Don't forget to rate the podcast. Don't forget to follow and put on the notification bell so you know when I upload an episode, because I'll be uploading at the most random times. But as I always end the episode, don't forget to always do you and be unapologetic. Bye, guys. Old-fashioned man. Yeah, baby, I'm a classic man.